The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a Thursday, and not just any Thursday, it is Veterans Day. And, you know, I went through some old photos today, and I pulled out some of my dad. My dad was in the Army back in the Korea War days. Those of you watching, that's him on the left. Actually sitting on the steps of the place where he grew up in Chelsea, Massachusetts. My dad didn't see combat. He was the guy who did the variety shows. He was always the MC, and I've got binders of his old scripts from these variety shows that he hosted with the corniest jokes. And I should put aside some time to go through them and see what's there. I mean, most of it is just, it's just dreadful. It's just not funny. And I guess it has to do with, you know, time. Some of it just didn't hold up well into the next century. But yeah, that's what he did in the Army. My dad was an entertainer at that time. He then went on to to work in the advertising field, but in the early days of, well, it wasn't the early days of television, but he had a UHF television show. We lived in New York. That was all in Spanish. He sold Spanish language advertising. So, he had the Spanish language variety show on TV. I guess he segued from what he did in the Army to that, and then he wound up publishing Spanish language magazines because he saw the trend way ahead of his time. Anyway, I didn't mean to go into that, but I didn't start YouTube. Oh God, YouTube. I'm sorry. Here I am and waiting for me to turn on YouTube. Sorry, YouTube. I did it again. I started without you. I started by talking about it's Veterans Day, and I put up my dad's picture, and everything was right, and I just forgot to start YouTube. I'm sorry, YouTube. I really love you guys. So happy Veterans Day, and thank you to those who served when it was actually serving your country. But on to other things. On to current day things. I will get to the concert last night because it was fabulous. It was just so good. But I first have to tell you about the breaking news that just broke moments ago. Federal appeals court granted the former guy's request to pause the release of documents to the House Select Committee investigating what happened on January 6th. I'm telling you, I feel this powder keg that's about to burst. This country is so divided. So yesterday, I watched some of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, and it was just sickening to watch. I mean, even today, I didn't watch any of it today, but apparently the judge, before they went on their lunch break, said something about disparaging. They ordered an Asian food for lunch, and he made some kind of racist remark about the I hope it didn't the Chinese food isn't coming from what did he say? I hope the Asian food isn't coming on one of those boats from Long Beach Harbor. Here's I'm not going to put the video up, but here's the audio.
Let's hope for 1 o'clock. I don't know. Hope the Asian food isn't coming. Isn't on one of those boats in Long Beach Harbor. but let's
kind of racist, you pig. So yesterday, after watching much of this travesty of justice, I made a comment on Twitter, a very innocent tweet. I just said, "Can we possibly get an impartial judge?" And somebody, one of the trolls, one of the Trumpers, must have taken that tweet and posted it to some right-wing site or account or something, because they all came piling on. I mean, in a matter of moments, there's a thing called ratioing on Twitter. So if you have a tweet and it gets, you know, a few likes and a few retweets, but the comments on it are in the hundreds, that's called ratioing. And that's what they did to me yesterday. And it went literally, I posted it, turned away, went back, and there were like 300 comments on it. And then a few minutes later, I mean, it was like 1,000. So they were just all coming at me. I'm this reprehensible, horrible person. But more importantly, what they were criticizing me for had nothing to do with anything of substance, nothing to do with the fact that, you know, they're destroying the whatever semblance of democracy we have going in this country. They commented on my looks, my weight. I'm old. I'm old, fat, and ugly. Really? That's how you're going to insult me now? I'm 62 years old. You got to have something better than that. Because frankly, your opinion on my appearance, I don't give a shit. I don't care what you think. I'm not here for your approval. And I'm not talking to you guys, my listeners. You guys are great. I'm talking to the Trumpers, these hateful, horrible, reprehensible creatures. And the shit they post is just so ugly. I mean, there were a lot of references to me being Jewish. Yeah, oh yeah. Somebody put my name in those parentheses, which is a sign that I'm Jewish. Oh, it figures she's a Jew. Got a bunch of those. I just blocked them all. And then I thought, you know what? Why am I doing this? So I just set my Twitter account to private. So anybody who follows me or I follow can see my tweets, but anybody who doesn't can't. It's temporary because they'll find some other, you know, person to go attack because that's what they do. Because they've got no other purpose in life than to do shit like this. It's you know, it's a sign of the times. This is where we are today. And like I said, I feel like it's a powder keg, a pressure cooker ready to blow. Tempers are flaring. People are nasty, and I don't mean nasty in a fun kind of way. I mean rude and ugly, and everything is about fighting, and there is no common ground. I don't want it, but I don't see how this country escapes a civil war at this point. Because the leader of that side has no interest in promoting harmony, comity, you know, doesn't want us to work together. He, you know, the orange one, is all about creating conflict and ratcheting up the tension. And this is not going to end well. None of it. Plus, we have these three trials going on at the same time. You got the Kyle Rittenhouse, right? You got the murderers of Ahmaud Arbery. And you have another lawsuit over January 6th, I believe. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening. Plus the January 6th commission. Plus, you know, everything else going on. And yet we feel like everything's moving at a snail's pace. Now, when I saw the, I'll tell you about the concert. People want to hear about the concert. I'll get there in just a moment. Just let me get this out of my system because it's pissing me off. People they're itching for a fight. The comments that I got on Twitter, and the thing is, they're just lazy because one person, just one of them, went to my website and found my email address and sent me a nasty email. But one out of thousands who trolled me on Twitter yesterday. I thought yesterday we'd be inundated with the trolls' phone calls. They're just lazy. They I guess somebody put on a website, ooh, this person is bad-mouthing the judge who, so, you know, who must be Kyle Rittenhouse's, you know, mentor or something. just amazing. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the concert last night. I will change the order of things I was going to do. So, the concert was actually at, well, it's now called the Florida Live Arena. It's in Sunrise, Florida, which is right down the street from us. Literally, it's like 10 minutes from the house. So, because it was a dual headliner, it was Jackson Browne opening for James Taylor. But they each did a full set. And because of that, Jackson was going on at 7:30 sharp. And I do my homework. I make sure I know when they're going on because I don't like to miss any of it. So we, you know, rather than pay the $25 to park at the arena, it's right across the street from the Sawgrass Mills Mall. And every time I've gone to a concert there, I always park across the street at the mall, which we did yesterday. So I got off the air at 6:00. We wolfed down some dinner and we went to the concert and we parked over there and we start walking across the street. And wouldn't you know, it starts raining. It's Florida. It rains. Luckily we had an umbrella. We were ready to stash it outside. Inside bushes so we don't lose the umbrella. But they actually let us bring it inside. We had remarkable seats. And I got to tell you what happened was, and I think I told you about this when it happened, the tickets work. They're not cheap. And I get it. They have two big acts, and they both had excellent bands, full bands. There must have been 20 people on stage with James Taylor, and I'm not exaggerating. So James had an amazing set. I mean, everything, it was just beautiful. The sound was great. Everything was great. But when I went to buy tickets, and I found decent seats that were like $79.50. And I would have swallowed that because these are two of my favorite artists. But the service charge that Ticketmaster charges was $48 for two tickets, $24 each ticket for Ticketmaster service charge. And so I got in touch with Jackson's manager, who I haven't spoken to in years, but I've known for years. What? Yes? Oh, okay, David, pick up your microphone. Anyway, I got in touch with them to ask actually about an interview. Maybe while he's in town, we can do an interview. And she said, well, he's not doing anything. He's in a COVID bubble on this tour. But after the tour, maybe around the end of the year, we can do something, which would be great because I got to tell you about his new album. But anyway, so she's like, don't worry about it. There'll be a pair of tickets for you at Will Call. And they were great seats. There's, you know, it was on the floor. There were the two sections in the front of the stage. And then there was like two or three more sections behind them. We were in the second section and like the third row. Perfect seats. The sound was impeccable. They sounded so good. David, what do you want to say?
Well, you were talking about the umbrella. That's what made me want to comment.
Yeah.
I have never, and there's an absurdity here that I have to mention. I've never been to a concert or a ball game where they would allow you to take
the umbrella
inside
in, right?
Because, you know, you could beat the hell out of somebody with it. So they let us take the umbrella inside. And I don't know if you noticed it, but as we were walking in and they were checking bags and things, the guy immediately in front of us put a pocket knife.
And the guy said to him, you can't take the pocket knife. And he went, oh, and then he just threw it in the trash.
Right. So they let us take the umbrella in. They don't let him take the pocket knife. So then at some point in the show, I get up to go to the bathroom. And while I was out there, I bought a overpriced bottle of water.
Right.
And when I went to bring the water back, the woman would not let me bring the water bottle with
the
cap on.
You can't have the cap.
So you can bring an umbrella with which you could literally beat somebody to death. Right. But God forbid you have a fucking cap to a bottle.
Right.
It was just...
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason behind the rules. They're just doing their jobs.
It was, to me, I'm sorry, it was insane.
Yeah, it was insane. But the concert was great. You would agree. It was just phenomenal.
The concert was fabulous, and I've been to a million shows there.
Me too.
The sound was great. I've seen James Taylor going back to 1971, when his opening act was Carole King. Last night I saw the opening act, Jackson Brown. The first time I saw Jackson Brown was probably 1971 or 72, and the opening act was Linda Ronstadt.
Wow.
So I've seen James Taylor approaching 10 times. I've seen Jackson Brown at least, I've seen him with you three times,
probably,
right?
Yeah. I've met him
in L.A.
Yes.
Thank you.
You did? Yes, you did.
And I've seen him at least twice or three times before you and I ever met. So I've seen him half a dozen times, and I never heard him sound better.
Right. No, he sounded perfect. And the funny thing is, Jackson Brown was always like this boyish look. It seemed like he was never going to age. Well, he finally aged. I mean, I think he's aging nicely, but he's all gray. He's got a beard. I do have some pictures. I didn't pull any to bring to put up here. I should have. We'll see. Maybe I can pull some when Howie's on and I can show you. But yeah, I posted a couple of short videos on Facebook. If anyone's on Facebook and want to go to my regular Facebook page, they're there. But I got to tell you, here's the other thing. When I interviewed Jackson, the first time I interviewed him was 1994, 95, thereabouts. And at that time, he was bemoaning the fact that he was recording new music, but, you know, it was hard to get it played on the radio. And at I think he said at some point something to the effect of, I don't know. I don't know how I keep doing this. You know, he sounded very discouraged. But he's still writing and making new music. So he's got this new album out. I wish I could play some of it for you, but I'd get copyright violated. It's called, the album is called Downhill From Everywhere. And he played four songs from it last night. And oh my God, they're so good. But, you know, one of them, the title track from the album Downhill From Everywhere, I was going to read to you the lyrics, but it's long. But let me share just some of the lyrics with it. It's downhill. It starts off downhill from the prison, downhill from the mall, downhill from the factory farm and the hospital, downhill from the border wall, downhill from the high school, downhill from the gym, downhill from the church at the station, downhill from the baby's room. And it goes on and on. Downhill from everywhere, downhill from all you see. The ocean is downhill from gravity, downhill from here, downhill from everywhere, downhill from all of humanity. And then it goes on like that. The vineyard, the mine, the fruity plain and the bottom line, downhill from Columbine. From the racetrack, the news, the sponsors and the camera crews, from the pain to lose. And then it says, downhill from God's golden shore, downhill from the grocery store, downhill from the center floor, K Street and the never-ending war. And then he says, there's a message here. This is why I'm reading this. Because Jackson Browne is still making protest music. I've bemoaned the loss of the protest song. Well, they're still there. The problem is there's so much out there that it's hard for anything to cut through. He says, downhill from everywhere, downhill from all you see. The ocean is the last stop for gravity. Downhill from here, downhill from everywhere. All mankind's ambition and validity. Do you think of the ocean as yours? Because you need the ocean to breathe. Every second breath you take is coming from the sea. We don't really know because we don't really see. Do you think of the ocean as yours? Do you think about it at all? Obviously, a song dealing with what we're doing to our oceans, what we're doing to our planets. And then another one that he played that was just also just brilliant is, I lost it. It's called, it's called Until Justice Is Real. You look it up yourself. Listen to it. You can find it on Spotify and all those usual streaming services. The album, again, Downhill From Everywhere. It's so good. It's times like this that I wish I was still doing music radio and could play his songs because they're brilliant and they deserve to be heard. You know, and then there was James Taylor, and they came on, and they played a few songs together. It was great. And I'll tell you something. I have missed live music. I've missed music as part of my life, but live music during the pandemic, especially. So somebody asked, was everyone wearing a mask? David and I were. So maybe 60-40, 70-30 in there. But some people were. And nobody, you know, looked twice at us wearing the mask. We kept the mask on the entire time inside the arena because you have to. At least I have to because I do not want to get COVID. So that's that. That was the concert. I'll tell you something. They are touring together. I don't know how long the tour goes on, but go see it if you can. You know, if you're a fan of them. And if you're around my age, I can't imagine you wouldn't be. I mean, I grew up with both of them. Jackson Browne did Late for the Sky. That's the album that introduced me to him. And that song always makes me cry. I'll tell you just one more Jackson Browne story because I can. So the first time I met him, it was, I was in Los Angeles. I think I was working at KLOS at the time and went to see him at the Santa Barbara County Bowl. Beautiful place. And after the show, we got to go meet him. I was with my friend Andy. But during the show, he did Late for the Sky. And it's about a breakup. And I was, you know, I was a heartsick young woman then. And at that time, especially, it just brought me to tears. Still does if I'm in that frame of mind. And so, sure enough, he does Late for the Sky and I'm crying. We go backstage after I'm like meeting Jackson Browne for the first time. And my friend Andy says, "You made her cry." I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Anyway, Jackson Browne, yes, born in 1940. He and James Taylor are both 74 or thereabouts, close. And so I hate to verbalize these things. I hate to say it. But it was the same thing with Todd Rundgren, who we went to see a couple of weeks ago. My first show in 2 years. These rock stars who I grew up with loving their music, they are all now in their 70s. I can't imagine James Taylor and Jackson Browne and Todd Rundgren are going to keep touring much longer. I mean, I hope they do, but I have to think that for some of these, they're looking at, you know, their end of career sort of swan song. And James Taylor had this beautiful, you know, beautiful videos behind him and a gorgeous set. And that's what I think of. Todd Rundgren, the same thing. It was more of a career retrospective. So I think these shows that are going to come around now in the aftermath of the pandemic, if you can go and if you can get past the being inside with thousands of people where there is still a pandemic raging, we may not get the chance to do that again. How old is Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan's got to be 80. And I'll tell you something else. Bob Dylan he's an artist. He's a painter. And I found this, I don't know, months ago, and it's finally happening. An exhibit at Florida International University in Miami opens. It's the largest exhibit of Bob Dylan stuff, his paintings, memorabilia, all stuff, but the largest exhibit of his artwork anywhere. And it's going to be at the FIU campus in Miami beginning November 30th through next April. So I'm going to go, you know, definitely see that. But they're all getting up there. So, yes. Okay. Thank you, Durbin. Jackson Browne turned 73 on October 9th, John Lennon's birthday. Yes, I knew that. So, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to see my favorite artist. And I hear Bruce Springsteen's going out on the road again. Music is so important, especially when the world has gone mad the way it is now. I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know how we get through this. Yes, Bruce Springsteen is also political. James Taylor, not so much, but he did call out some of Jackson's new songs about and said how great they were from the stage. So somebody in the chat room said, John asked, did Jackson Browne do the roadie song Stay last night? No, he didn't. But he did do Running on Empty, joined by James Taylor, which was very cool. And James Taylor Jackson Browne joined James on a couple of songs. I'm trying to How Sweet It Is, maybe, and one other. I can't remember. But yeah, they did a few songs together. Like James came out at the end of Jackson's set, and then Jackson came out at the end of James Taylor's. And it was wonderful. Dylan is 80 and a half, right? Yeah. So I don't know about you, but when I went after Donald Trump was elected, I went through this horrible time of depression. A lot of you are with me, and I had some rough days on this show. And yes, Take It Easy. They did Take It Easy, which Jackson co-wrote with Glenn Frey for the Eagles. So when I was going through that deep depression, the thing that got me out of it was music, because I get so, you know, embroiled in the shit that's going on that, you know, I'm glued to the news, whether it's reading or watching TV or listening to a newscast or something, that I wasn't immersing myself in music for a long time. Well, I loaded pretty much my entire CD collection onto my iPod, and that's what pulled me out of the depression. Or I'm giving it credit for that anyway. So there's an old saying, it goes, music hath strength to soothe the savage breast. And that's how the saying goes. I always thought it was the savage beast until somebody corrected me one day and I looked it up, and it is indeed the savage breast. my breasts aren't savage and they don't often need soothing, but they've been soothed. So, yeah. And now we, you know, I don't even want to think about this, about what's going on. The gorilla in the mist says it. Now we've got Manchin and Sinema. Who's worse? Yeah. So, for your own mental health, try to come up with something to take your mind off of the ugliness, because there's only so much you can take. Now, you know, I'm thinking about, I read you those lyrics from Jackson Brown, and there was James Taylor, and they were so great. Now, one concert, actually two tours that are coming here to South Florida that I will not be going to, I will not be spending my good money on, are Eric Clapton and Van Morrison, because they've both gone fucking crazy. And today, moments before I came on the air, I got an alert from the Washington Post, and there's an article. The headline reads, "What happened to Eric Clapton?" It says the guitar legend has long been inscrutable, but his COVID turn has friends and fans puzzled like never before. And I'll just read you the beginning of it. I'll post it on the blog where I post today's show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/11-11-21. And I'll put the text in there, too, because Washington Post is behind a paywall. Anyway, here's the beginning of the article. Robert Cray was stunned when he first heard Stand and Deliver. Eric Clapton, his one-time musical hero who became a mentor and friend, had released his first protest songs in 56 years of recording. Only it wasn't about George Floyd or global warming. Clapton's mid-tempo shuffle, a collaboration with Van Morrison, released in December, went full anti-lockdown, taking aim at the government for trying to control a global pandemic by temporarily shuttering restaurants, gyms, and concert halls. What grabbed Robert Cray's attention was the second verse. The lyrics go like this. Do you want to be a free man or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to be a free man or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to wear those chains until you're lying in the grave? Robert Cray, one of the great blues guitarists of his generation, a five-time Grammy winner and black man born in segregated Georgia, emailed Clapton immediately. Was the 76-year-old guitar great comfortable singing Morrison's words, which compared the lockdown to slavery? Cray says, quote, his reaction back to me was that he was referring to slaves from, you know, England, from way back. That didn't satisfy Cray. Neither did their next email exchange. Then Cray stopped responding altogether. The next time he wrote was weeks later to politely inform Clapton that he couldn't, in good conscience, open for him as planned on an upcoming tour. After that, Cray watched as Clapton released two more lockdown songs, conducted a lengthy interview with vaccine skeptics, and pledged to perform only where fans would not be required to be vaccinated, or, as Clapton said in a statement, not, quote, where there is a discriminated audience present. Seriously? Then it gets even worse. After a September show in Austin, Clapton posed backstage with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Abbott had just recently signed the country's most restrictive abortion law and a Republican-backed measure to limit who can vote in the state. Like that, a 35-year-old friendship was over. And then Robert Cray says, he shows a photo. I think I can pull this up, maybe. I'll show you the picture in a moment for those of you watching a video feed. He shows this picture, and it's of it's Eric Clapton, it's B.B. King, it's Jimmy Vaughn, Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother, and Robert Cray. So this is from, let me just scroll down, from 2013. This photo from 2013 at Madison Square Garden after the show with B.B. King sitting in a chair, Jimmy Vaughn, Robert Cray, and Eric Clapton sitting behind him. Cray says, and I looked at that picture of Governor Abbott, Jimmy Vaughn, and Eric Clapton in that similar pose, and I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? Why are you doing this? So here's the picture of them all with B.B. King back in 2013, and then This picture is Jimmy Vaughn, Greg Abbott, and Eric Clapton all smiling like a bunch of fools. That's depressing. So, let's see. It goes on like that. And then they quote, Robert Cray wants nothing more to do with him. Then it goes on to, in an increasingly polarized world, Clapton stayed out of politics. He was never one to pop up at rallies or marches. So it's been more than a departure to hear him questioning scientists on anti-vaccine websites. Producer Russ Titelman, who's produced, he's big time. He said, I've talked to other musicians, old friends of mine, these great players who, you know, will remain nameless in our conversation, who say, what the fuck is he doing? Titelman, whose credits include Clapton's Unplugged and a new Clapton album that's coming out this month. Bill Oakes, who managed Clapton's label throughout the 70s, says he's the anti-Bono. He's the epitome of someone who's there for the music, and he's never rubbed shoulders with world leaders and never wanted to. But he's alienating all these people who he's been friends with, who he's worked with for throughout the years. Interviews with more than 20 musicians and acquaintances who've known Clapton over the years, from his days in the Yardbirds to his most recent concerts in September, shed light on why he may have thrust himself into the COVID debate. Among friends and collaborators, there's hope that Clapton can repair the damage he's done to his reputation, but their frustration is apparent. And drummer Jim Keltner, who, if you don't know of, you should. It played with everybody from the Traveling Wilburys on down. Jim Keltner, who's known Clapton for 51 years, says, nobody I've talked to that knows Eric has an answer. He says, we're all in the same boat. We're all going, I can't figure it out. So the article goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's rather lengthy. But it's depressing because that's where we are with this. So I'll tell you what, it's getting late and it's Thursday. And this is the day that, you know, Howie Klein joins us. Well, I know some of you know this, but some of you may not. I first met Howie Klein when we were both living in Los Angeles. I was doing music radio. He was the president of Reprise Records. Reprise Records, part of Warner Brothers. Reprise Records, the home of Eric Clapton. Howie hates it when I bring this up, but we'll get Howie on the line in a moment, and I'll have to ask him about this. So, with no further ado, somebody mix up those Dirty Debbies.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein. Oh, I had the wrong pot up. Hi, Howie.
Hi, Nicole. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good, too. Thanks.
Good. I went last night. I saw Jackson Browne and James Taylor. What a great show.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God. And they're both like 73, 74. And neither one, especially Jackson, they've never sounded better. They were great.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was so blown away. And I don't know if you've heard it, but Jackson's new album is really, really good. It's a protest record. This song "Downhill from Everywhere" is about the oceans and the global warming. He's got another song on there called "Until Justice Is Real," which you can kind of get the gist from the name. Another one, "The Dreamer," which is about a young girl who came here at 12 years old. I mean, it's very topical and musically wonderful. So good. So
wait a second.
Yes.
What was the second one? Until Justice Is Real?
Until Justice Is Real.
You remember any other titles?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the track list. Still Looking for Something, My Cleveland Heart, Minutes to Downtown, A Human Touch, Love is Love, Downhill from Everywhere, The Dreamer, Until Justice is Real, A Little Soon to Say, and A Song for Barcelona. That's the track listing on the album called Downhill from Everywhere.
Definitely listen to it.
Oh, it's great. It's
Jackson is an old friend. Did you get to go backstage?
I didn't because I spoke to Cree, you know, his manager, and what she said is while they're on tour, he's in a COVID bubble. He's not doing any meet and greets. He's not doing any interviews. He's not doing anything. But she said when they break from the tour, maybe at the end of the year, we can do something then. And I'm like, I'm in. I would love to. I have an interview. The last time I interviewed Jackson was 10 years ago. It was right after Air America Radio went off the air. He had been saying for about a year, yeah, I want to come. I want to come on Air America. I want to do it. I want to do it. And then Air America went off the air and it never happened. And like a month later, I was in LA and we were able to get it together. And he's like, so is this on Air America? And I was like, no, network went under last month. So, yeah. But that was the last time we spoke.
Okay, well, great.
And there's your phone ring again. And I told you that piano riff is something going on from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Child is Father to the Man. I'm gonna pull it up just so that you can hear it. Anyway, I needed to ask you if you by any chance saw today's Washington Post.
No, I mean, I did see some stories from it, but which one were you talking about specifically?
A story written by Jeff Edgers, E-D-G-E-R-S. The headline, the title is, What Happened to Eric Clapton?
Oh, no, no, I did not see that.
Oh, it's bad.
And I can imagine what it is. They're going into, Eric and I have some very close mutual friends who have told me that he's, you know, that they don't have anything to do with him anymore, that he's gone off the deep end.
Yes. Well, that's what it's about. Robert Cray basically told him, ended their friendship of 35 years. Robert Cray said, he called him out on these lyrics about slavery. He's like, really, you're comparing the lockdown for COVID to slavery? And he's like, then he called him. He's like, sorry, I'm not opening for you on tour. I'm not doing anything with you anymore.
I've always really liked Eric a lot. He was a real gentleman and a real nice person to deal with. But this is another side of him that's really come to the fore now. I mean, I had heard talk about this kind of stuff in the past, but it was never anything apparent. But now people who are extremely close to him, like way more close than I ever was, told me they can't take it anymore, and they're keeping away from him.
Right. Well, you should read this article because, I mean, it's alternately heartbreaking and, you know, and just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. All right. Here, humor me for a second. Let's see if this is your ringtone. Doesn't it sound like it?
Yeah, but that's much better than my ringtone. I wish that was my ringtone.
This is an organ. Well, it's the beginning of Something Going On from Blood, Sweat, and Tears' first album, Child is Father to the Man, which is their best album ever.
Of course.
With Al Kooper. Can you tell I'm more interested in talking music because what's happening in the world of politics in our government is frankly
kind of depressing, right?
Really depressing, not just kind of depressing. Howie, it's like there's this giant pressure cooker that we're all simmering in and the top is going to blow any minute now.
Yeah, I'm getting worried. I've never been this worried in my life that we are going to be into some kind of a civil war or something horrible.
Yep.
I just buried myself today in numbers. That's what I do when I start feeling like depressed. I don't want to think about it, but I know I have to like write for my blog.
Yeah.
So like, I literally just spent the last 3 hours figuring out the PVIs of the new California congressional districts compared to the old California congressional districts and writing a post about that literally even people in California aren't going to be interested in it, let alone people who don't live in California. I mean, this is going to be interesting for nobody, I don't think, except like hardcore, the hardest core junkies I'll have to put this up like really, really late at night. But I find it fascinating. But it's like it numbed me for 3 hours.
I'll bet. Have you watched any of these, like the Rittenhouse trial yesterday with his crocodile tears?
I did. I didn't sit down to watch it, but the TV was on a few times when I would, you know, like I put new socks on and when I, you know, did various tasks. So I didn't get to watch like any like significant amount of it, but you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, a couple of clips on other people's shows. But it was pretty pathetic and hard to imagine. I mean, hard to imagine that this judge hasn't been thrown off the bench long ago.
Right. It's astounding. So you know, Twitter being what it is, yesterday, of course, I make just a snide comment. It wasn't one of my worst. It was very tame, actually. I said, can we get rid of this guy and actually get an impartial judge to oversee this case? And somebody, one of the Trump trolls, must have taken my tweet and posted it somewhere and said, get her, because boy, I've never been attacked like this. Never. To the point where I had to take my account private for a few days. The tweets are protected now because they piled on me. Over 1,000 in probably a half hour.
Wow.
Yeah. It got really ugly.
And you didn't have an ad on your tweet.
I know, right? And the thing is, they're just nasty. It's not, part of it is, oh, the libtard, you know, but they go after, you know, you're old, you're ugly, you're fat, your hairstyle is so from the 60s. I mean, really? You want to comment on my physical appearance? Who the fuck died and made you the arbiter of what looks good? And like, I give a shit because I really want to impress them, but that's how they go after.
Why not just ignore them?
Well, I do. I block them. And then I couldn't help but see them. They were there. And that's why I had to take the account private, because they throttled my entire feed. I couldn't see any of the legitimate people who were trying to message me or anything. Crazy. So, let's talk about a post that you put up. I think it was yesterday that I saw.
Before we do that,
yes.
Since I'm just working for 3 hours on this,
okay.
Can I just tell you the good news?
Yes, please. I could use some good news.
I'll give you some good news.
Okay.
How about that? Of all the districts in California, there are 53 now, but there'll be 52. We lost one. But of all those districts, the person who got the worst. The worst result, Devin Nunes.
Really? Ooh, good.
He went from an R plus 11 district, so pretty much untouchable, to a D plus 3 district.
Wow. Wow.
A D plus 5. Sorry, D plus
That's
5.
That's even better.
If that holds. Now, the maps aren't like, this is like called the final map, but it's not real. It's not the final map. So the final map, I mean, they've been putting out maps like literally there have been like 20 maps that have come out. So this one is supposed to be the final, but not the final. The final, mm-hmm. final comes out in December. So this one, there will be no changes for 2 weeks, and they're letting people comment on it. I'm sure Nunes and his cronies will be commenting every 2 minutes on this one, because he won't – In anything but a Republican wave, and I think we're about to hit one, but in any other kind of a year, he'll lose the seat. He couldn't hold the seat.
Good. Well, good. He deserves to go. He's been very, you know, low-key backbencher almost lately. And the thing is, he's got all these lawsuits going against people who've made fun of him on social media, which is...
Yes, cow. He's losing them, yes, all, every single one of,
right,
them, by the way.
And you got to ask who's paying to defend him in these lawsuits.
Well, he collects immense amounts of money. He's one of the five most donated to members of Congress. Huge amounts of money.
Wow. But he can use that for his own personal lawsuits?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can. I mean, okay. It's kind of personal, but it's also connected to being a congressman. I'm not a lawyer,
right,
but I believe you can use it, and I believe they do. So anyway, he got the worst of anybody. I mean, that kind of a drop is amazing. But Mike Garcia, who's in the 25th district,
yeah,
he was in a district that was already leaning Democrat. It used to not be.
Was that the one that Katie Hill had to vacate?
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
That's okay.
So Garcia. So last year it was a D plus five. So it's also that's tough for a Republican anyway. But he managed because they picked such a horrible Democrat, and they'll probably pick the same horrible Democrat again. But now it's a D plus eight. And last time the horrible Democrat who went up against Garcia almost beat him. I mean, it was really, really close recounts and all that kind of stuff. But and now that the district is more Democratic, he won't have much chance to lose, unless you know. I mean, if they pick her though, I mean, she's really bad. She's horrible. She's actually a Republican who pretends to be a Democrat, and progressives don't want to vote for her. Even though, you know, it means that Garcia stays in, but she's just so awful. Anyway, so she was a loser. But also in Orange County, Michelle Steele, I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but, you know, for our California listeners, they're going to be excited.
Okay.
Because she was in an R plus two district, and now it's a D plus four.
Wow. So this is Orange County. Orange County, yeah. When I lived out there, it was always, you know, oh, you're going to go behind the orange curtain. Orange County was so red. But now it's coming around. Katie Porter is in Irvine. How's her district?
Yes. She got a really bad situation, though, Katie.
Oh, no.
Her district was slightly blue, and now it's slightly red.
Oh, no.
So I think she can still hold it, but, you know, she's in a tough situation.
Oh shit! We need to keep Katie Porter in there. I mean, she's my choice for the next speaker.
Yeah,
not that
well,
that means sure. anything, but I think she'd be a great speaker of the House. I think she'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, probably won't happen. But
no, of course
she is fantastic. Unfortunately, her district is going to be tougher now. They're winnable, but tougher. I mean, she goes from. What was it like? When she won it, it was a little bit red.
Uh-huh.
And then it's changed into a little bit blue. So it was let's see, I think it was like a D plus two,
uh-huh.
And now it's an R plus two, something like that.
And how about Kevin McCarthy?
Pretty much the same. It was already very red. Now it's a little bit redder.
Okay.
But not much.
Yeah.
But he's not really touchable.
Yeah, that's too bad. I don't understand why anybody would vote for him. Everything about him is just, well, he's a typical Republican. Doesn't stand for anything. Will throw out his, you know, deeply held beliefs in order to kiss Donald Trump's mushroom dick.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he doesn't, you're right, he doesn't stand for anything. He's a garden variety Republican. He could go any way. It doesn't matter to him. It's about power and game playing. It's not about any, deeply held beliefs. And that's been his entire career, even when he was in the state assembly. The thing is, though, he's not a fascist.
Right. Well,
now, I'm not saying I'm not saying he won't go that way. It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not one of these true believer fascists. Like so many of them are, like
right.
Jim Jordan, for example, or Marjorie Trader Greene, or Lauren Boebert, or
ugh.
Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah, right.
Oh, speaking of redistricting, Madam Cawthorn, what's his name?
Madison Cawthorn. Yeah.
His district, which is still very red, there's a lot of people in it who really hate him. So what happened was the Speaker of the North Carolina House designed a district for himself, which is just east of Cawthorn's district.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very, very red district. There are no signs of any Democratic anything in it. So in Cawthorn's district, they have Asheville. Asheble is
yes,
is
that's very blue. Right.
Right. But still, the district that surrounds it is very red. So, but the thing is when you at least have a bastion of Democrats in one area, there's always a chance something can happen. So, you know, Cawthorn couldn't wait to get out of that district. So as soon as the Speaker of the House presented the new map with the district he designed for himself, specifically for himself, Cawthorn jumped right into that district. He's leaving his old district, including where he lives.
Seriously?
I mean, the county that he lives in isn't in the new district, and he's moving over to the new district. And he announced last night that Trump is endorsing him.
Oh my
God. Can imagine how the Speaker of the House went to all the trouble of designing his own district for himself, how he must feel about this now.
Wow. So is there any chance, because that district that now he's leaving encompasses Asheville, but they also put in a whole bunch of red surrounding areas to make it more Republican, that an actual like Democrat or a progressive could get in there?
No. There was a chance if Cawthorn was running that could happen. Because he is, you know, kind of an embarrassment to the district, and a lot of swings. You know, that's a kind of a district where it's not, you can't just win it on Republican votes. There are too many independents and swing voters. So there was a little bit of a chance. It was unlikely that Cawthorn would be defeated, but possible. But in the new district, absolutely not possible. Now, what is possible is he could lose the primary. I don't think he will, but he could. Because, I mean, he's obviously a carpetbagger, but he's also a star. You know, we don't think of him as a star, but on their media that they all watch, he's a huge star. Ugh. They love him. He's a handsome guy. He's a moron the way they are.
That's right.
They love a moron who, you know, makes them feel like, you know, hey, one of us, totally one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who got, you know, who did really badly in school, wound up going to like a fake
Christian.
Oh,
he did not graduate college, or I believe. I think
he only went one or two semesters.
Right.
He's, you know, he's a big liar. He was molesting women the whole time. And then he claimed that he was accepted into, I think it was the Naval Academy. He got accepted into the Naval Academy, and then he had his accident.
Right.
The fact is that before his accident, the Naval Academy had already said he was not qualified and had already sent him a rejection note.
Wow.
So he's just a
Oh, he lies
liar.
About everything. But it's typical Republican behavior.
Very much like Trump. That's why Trump likes him so much.
That's right. That's right. Have you seen any video of Ron DeSantis lately? He's now imitating Trump's hand movements. Like he's study videotapes of him because he has his tics and his mannerisms down. He is like Trump's shadow. It's really frightening. Really frightening.
I am so hoping that the two of them run against each other. You have no idea.
That would be good. So quickly, Howie, before we reach the end of the hour, you did put up a post yesterday. Merrick Garland is not up to the job. He should resign or be fired.
Yeah, well, the short version is, if you let the insurrectionists and the coup plotters get away with it, then it gives them permission. So I'm not blaming him for what the judiciary is doing now, which is also terrible. Mm-hmm. By giving these people just a slap on the wrist, it makes them into heroes, and it makes other people think, oh, I could do this, and so what? I'll go to jail for a few months, I'll go to jail for a year. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's like the same story of what happened with Hitler. He was arrested for treason, mm-hmm. tried, found guilty. He had a joke sentence for a short time. He wrote his autobiography, Mein Kampf, in it. And then he came out and he was a hero on the right and became much, much bigger than he ever would have been. So, you know, when it's treason, you put them in front of a firing squad and you shoot them.
Right.
Or maybe you put them in jail and leave them. I mean, I know a lot of our listeners probably don't like the idea of shooting people. But I personally have always liked
the idea. Depends who it is.
Sorry?
I said it depends who it is.
Yeah. I've always been in favor of, you know, people who commit treason to be shot. Anyway, that's just me. I don't expect anybody else to go along with that.
But you know what? Here's the bottom line, though, Howie. We had a treasonous situation. We had January 6th, a group of people that Donald Trump.
Two groups of people.
Okay. And he incited them to go to the Capitol and stop them from certifying the Electoral College votes. He wanted to stage a coup to stay in office. And where's the urgency? Merrick Garland is derelict.
He doesn't know what arrest means?
He doesn't know
what treason means?
I don't get it.
I'm not saying that he should go up to Trump and put a gun to his head and shoot him. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying he needs to be tried, found guilty, and then you shoot him.
That's right. And that one I'm with you on that one.
Okay, well, let's shoot him.
Okay. No. Have the firing squad. But I think they need to do it just one shot at a time because I want him to suffer.
You know what? They're crying that they need more money for this or we need more money for that. Why don't we
sell tickets
based on the firing squad for $1 million a pop?
I bet we could get that too.
I can't say that I would give it, but there might be people.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know, it's funny. If it was on the other side, they'd be able to do it. In other words, if it was AOC found guilty of something, then they could sell it. They could sell places on the firing squad.
Yeah, but you know what? They don't even need to wait for that because if this judge Schroeder lets Kyle Rittenhouse off, which it looks like he's going to, that's basically going to...
It'll be appealed. Oh, wait.
No,
double jeopardy.
Can't appeal it. He can appeal it if he loses, but if the prosecution loses, it's done. We can't appeal it
because the judge was complicit
and because the prosecutor was inept.
They would have to find another charge, a different charge against him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but if this...
Otherwise,
you know,
why don't they just stop the trial now? Isn't there some way to stop it now and have the judge thrown off the case?
Who? Who's going to do it?
The prosecutor?
The prosecutor can't do it.
I haven't studied it close enough. This is a Wisconsin.
This is Wisconsin.
Judge?
Yes, I believe so. But
yeah, so they could appeal to the Supreme Court. I guess that'll do a lot.
That'll do a lot. Right, we're screwed. Our judiciary has been so perverted by the former guy that we're fucked. No matter what way we turn, and when this judge lets this little murderer off, that's opening the door to vigilantism. Oh, you're going to go assist the cops against those horrible Black Lives Matter protesters? Have at it. You know, if a black guy was walking down the street in Kenosha with an AR-15 slung over his shoulder, he'd probably be dead instead of being, you know, waved away by the police.
That's right. We know that. And, you know, Merrick Garland, who I thought was a really horrible pick by Obama,
yes.
And that's, I wrote about that in my post, is a horrible attorney general. Where the hell is he? What is
he
doing?
I have no idea.
I mean, there are some really, really big problems, and this is I would call this an existential problem for our country.
I think he should be
working on that, and he's not. Why aren't these people? Why aren't the ones who showed the insurrectionists around the Capitol, haven't they been served with indictments?
I have no idea. Steve Bannon, why hasn't he been indicted yet? He's still walking around. What the fuck?
Yes. That's the most obvious one that the most people are talking about, and what the hell is happening there?
Right.
Why Congress has teed it up. And why doesn't Garland take the swing?
I don't know. Good question.
That was why I said he should just retire. And if he doesn't retire, Biden should be convinced to fire him. Of course, that'll never happen because Biden thinks he's just absolutely fine.
I guess so. David has something to say. What?
Howie, regarding Merrick Garland, the names Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner mean anything to you?
A lot to me, yes.
Okay. The way the feds got the people who murdered them was they went after them for violation of civil rights, despite the fact that the jury that tried them in Mississippi acquitted them in less time than it took them to eat lunch. So
exactly what I was thinking of in terms of Rittenhouse.
Exactly, Rittenhouse. So if Merrick Garland was still alive, none of this would be happening.
Yeah, well, there you go. Oy, oy, oy.
And we have a shot. Even after this guy is, even after this judge lets this guy loose, then the feds can then charge him on a civil rights violation.
If we had an attorney general, you know, who knew their shit, like a Jamie Raskin or somebody, might make a great attorney general. He'd do the job, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
and the funny thing is that Jamie Raskin. Tried a case where Garland was the bad guy. Garland was the judge. Raskin was trying to get basically D.C. made into a state.
Uh-huh.
This was a long time ago when Raskin was just an attorney, and And Garland was the heavy in that and said, no, D.C. is not a state and won't be a state.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Again, this goes back to Obama.
Perfect. Obama, a perfect pick for the other clown, Biden.
That's right. Amazing. Howie Klein, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. You know what? I was going to ask you one last thing. Today is Veterans Day. You were of the age. How did you not go to Vietnam?
I was of the age to get a, like, I was like number, I don't know, 320.
Oh, wow.
My number was so high that the whole country would have to be dead before I would go. But I burned my draft card like immediately. I went to the very first big draft card burning, and I burned my draft card. I wound up in a jail cell with a band called The Fugs and Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, wow.
And probably someone who you may know. I can't remember his name. The baby doctor. He was really, really famous.
Oh, Dr. Spock.
Yes, Dr. Spock, exactly. He was in the cell with us. It was this incredible jail cell. Everybody was a celebrity except me. I was the only non-celebrity in this cell.
Wow, and all for burning your draft cards.
It was more than for burning my draft card. It was for causing a, you know, we had a rally in front of the draft center in New York City, and what happened is they made a deal. They were going to take all the leaders of the rally, and they would voluntarily go, you know, be arrested as a show thing, and everybody else would disperse. So I was thinking, I drove 2 hours, and I'm not getting arrested. I drove all the way here, and we're dispersing. No way. So I attached myself to Dr. Spock, and because it was only supposed to be 10 people, the 10 leaders. I was the 11th person. And the cop said, who are you? Where are you going? I said, I'm his aide. And you see how old he is? He could die. I have to, like, you know, be with him. The cop looked at Spock, and Spock shook his head yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
I went under the barricade with him.
Oh, that's so funny. That's a great story. That's a great
a
story. Wow. Classic. Just classic. All right. Perfect note to end on. For Veterans Day. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, click on the Blue America PAC page and look at the great progressive candidates who are running in districts all over the country. We need them if we have any hope for the future of this nation. So go look, support, right?
Amen.
Okay. Thanks, Howie. I'll see you next week.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye. So there you go, Howie Klein. All right, we're done. Thank you, everybody. All right, so I'm going to go out with the news, but I saw somebody in the YouTube chat room mentioning the paintings behind me. What I'm doing these days is, as I paint these portraits, when they get to the point where they're looking like, you know, something, I put them on the wall behind me. But sometimes they're blocked out. You can't see them. So while the news is playing, I will show you guys who are still watching the two paintings behind me, because these are two big ones. One of them is five dogs on the beach, and the other is a lovely kitty cat. So I'll show you those while you listen to the news. Okay? So take it away, Nicole.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's back. Inflation jumped to a 6.2 annual rate in October, the highest in the United States since 1990. On a monthly basis, prices rose by 0.9%, up from a 0.4% increase in September. The October acceleration in the Consumer Price Index came as demand remained strong and the pandemic continued to cause supply disruptions. It's ugly, but one thing the corporate media is neglecting to report is that this is a global issue stemming from the pandemic. It's not unique to the United States or the Biden administration. Following a number of slap-on-the-wrist sentences for some of the former guy's supporters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, a reasonable sentence was finally given to Scott Fairlamb of New Jersey. The gym owner and former MMA fighter was sentenced to 41 months in prison for assaulting a police officer and obstructing an official proceeding. He was the first rioter sentenced for violently attacking police during the insurgency and got hit with the longest sentence yet connected to the events of January 6th. Judge Royce Lamberth said, quote, "It's such a serious offense, an affront to society and to the law, to have the Capitol overrun and the function of government stopped." And he said other violent rioters will get stiffer sentences if they go to trial. Well, after a flurry of subpoenas for allies and officials of the former guy over the past week or so, the House committee investigating the uprising is now interested in information from at least five members of the former vice president's inner circle. CNN News reporting that some Pence aides may be willing to engage with the committee. Meanwhile, Trump is still trying to keep documents from his presidency away from the committee. It's not working. A federal judge on Wednesday declined yet another Trump effort to pause the document handover and said that the former president cannot claim executive privilege when the current president supports their release. Turning to climate, the United States and China on Wednesday made a surprise pledge at the COP26 climate summit to work together to fight rising global temperatures. Both countries said they'd do more this decade to cut carbon emissions. And China, for the first time, made a commitment to reduce the release of methane. But don't get too excited. They didn't join the global methane pledge led by the U.S. and the EU. But don't get too excited. China, for the first time, made a commitment to reduce the release of methane, but it didn't join the global methane pledge led by the U.S. and the EU, nor any other major international agreement. China's climate envoy said the country wants, quote, differentiated responsibilities, including its own plan for methane reduction. Meanwhile, a draft of the Glasgow Agreement was also released, and the text urges countries to phase out coal-burning power plants and fossil fuel subsidies. Neither of those goals were mentioned in the landmark 2015 Paris Climate Accord. This draft also reaffirmed the target of keeping warming to below 2 degrees Celsius and preferably 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The draft also calls for developed countries to increase aid to lower-income nations by doubling funding to help them adapt and address damage from climate change. So, Kyle Rittenhouse, that's the teenager facing homicide charges for fatally shooting two people and injuring a third at a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, broke down sobbing while testifying in his own defense on Wednesday. Though viewers of the testimony noted the absence of any actual tears, and many suggested he'd be the recipient of some sort of award for horrible acting. Rittenhouse doesn't dispute that he shot and killed Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, and wounded Gage Grosskreutz. But he said that Rosenbaum had threatened him earlier and chased him. He said, "I defended myself. I didn't do anything wrong." No, he only killed two people. Rittenhouse has said he was in Kenosha carrying a semi-automatic assault-style rifle to protect property during the racial justice protests. His lawyers requested a mistrial after a prosecutor asked him questions the judge had said were out of bounds. The circus trial continues today. Over in the House of Representatives, after Nancy Pelosi called for the leadership to take some action against their member who posted a violent, ugly video to social media, a group of Democrats is now stepping up. It will offer a resolution to censure Republican Congressman Paul Gosar for, quote, posting an edited video on social media depicting himself as murdering Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and attacking President Joe Biden. Jackie Speier, Jim Cooper, Brenda Lawrence, Sylvia Garcia, Veronica Escobar, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Rashida Tlaib, Eric Swalwell, Nakima Williams, and Ayanna Pressley announced Wednesday night that they would offer the censure resolution against Gosar over the video, which thankfully has since been removed. That resolution would only need a simple majority to pass the House. The problem is the same problem that Congress has in its oversight authority. Although it would humiliate Gosar, a member is required to stand in the well of the House while the Speaker reads out the censure resolution, there are no other consequences attached. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats have called for an ethics investigation into the incident, but that can only happen if Republicans go along with it. And have you met today's Republican Party? And finally, what year is this? A Virginia school board voted unanimously on Wednesday for school libraries to remove, quote, sexually explicit books from their shelves. After the Spotsylvania County School Board voted 6-0 to excise the books, one of the board members said, quote, I think we should throw those books in a fire. And another said he wanted to, quote, see the books before we burn them so we can identify within our community that we are eradicating this bad stuff, end quote. The board took the vote after a parent expressed concern over a book called 33 Snowfish about three homeless teenagers escaping sexual abuse, prostitution, and addiction. Incredible. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.